And in
1 second. Christy, huh? What are you doing?
Well, let's record.
I'm recording a show, sweetie.
Well, let's record.
I'm going to do a show.
Now, why you have those on it? Why you have that?
Because what I'm recording is my voice. Sweetie, when I'm recording a show, you need to stay out of my office, okay? Okay.
Daddy, this is my show.
This is, well, kind of. Okay, sweetie? As soon as my show is over. Okay?
The show is over.
Not yet. We were just about to start.
Who was you talking to?
A friend of mine.
And in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1.
Are you hungry for Android? Get all you can eat at the Android Buffet. We release once a week and discuss all things Android. Now here's Guru and Jerry.
And wasn't that a wonderful introduction by Josh?
Oh my gosh, now we don't have to talk about Josh because Josh talks about us.
Yes, Josh is here for as long as we want him.
And the nice thing is he won't give us any attitude like Little Miss You Know Who does.
Did. Yes, we've put her on furlough.
Furlough.
Yes. But we have an exciting week. Just before the show, earlier today, there were a bunch of exciting Gingerbread announcements, so I scrambled to make sure that I knew everything there was to know about the new Gingerbread announcements, so we can talk about them. But we have some things to get through first. We have some listener mail.
Ooh, listener mail. You know I love listener mail.
Yes, it shows that people are listening.
We have a lot of listener mail.
Yeah, so several people had things to say, and we want to go and make sure we catch up on all of them so we're up to date. And let's start with Scott Evans, who is a regular emailer, commenter, etc. to the program.
I wonder if he's in a relation of Brent Evans.
Does he have any relatives down under?
I don't know.
Okay, possibly not.
I don't know.
We'll look into that.
You think he's down under?
Scott Evans, yes.
Why do you think Scott Evans is from Australia?
I think it's actually, let me think, I think Tasmania.
And how do you know this? Are you doing back traces on his email?
No, I've spoken to him before.
Oh, and you're saying he has an Australian accent?
No, he's Tasmanian, I think.
He's a devil?
No, he would be from Tasmania.
So are devils.
Well, if you continue to say that, he might be offended and not listen to the program.
No, how can he be offended by talking about Tasmanian devils? That's like Taz, man. It's Taz.
Anyway,
maybe you're too young for that.
I do remember the Tasmanian devil.
Have you ever seen a real Tasmanian devil?
No, never had the pleasure.
I have. They're ugly little creatures. They look like little bitty dogs, but uglier.
Scott, if you're interested in commenting on the subject of Tasmania, Tasmanian devils, and whether or not I misremembered your point of origin, feel free to write us again. This time,
you know, speaking of down under, have you ever been near a koala bear?
In a zoo, yes. Not
like a koala up on your shoulder?
No. Have you done that?
Yeah, the zoo down in Sydney or Perth. I forget which. You know, they look so cute, but my gosh, they smell horrible.
I don't know what to say to that.
How about we read Scott's email?
Hi, Guru and Jerry. I gave that new launcher a try, and for me, the excitement was, oh, okay, is that all? It did sound better than it looked. But anyway, at least I gave it a try. I think it was your sound effects that really sold it.
Well, yeah, it is as far as launchers go, it's relatively simple. It's got a little rotating thing, it's got a cube, and it's got a place for a single widget. So,
I thought it was two widgets. No, it's two additional things on the rotating thingy, and there's one widget.
Well, that's actually incorrect. There are a few things. There are two blank spots on the wheel that you can put whatever you'd like there. However, you can actually remove most of the things on the wheel. Really? There are a few that you can't. I believe Twitter, Facebook, and a couple others. But for the rest of them, you can pull off whatever's there and put whatever you like.
I'm going to have to try that. If I hear that there's a new version, then I might try to fix some of the other problems I mentioned.
I know it's a simple launcher, but it's different.
Different is good. And there are a lot of different launchers. I may look at some more again. I always pull up some new things because it's good to experiment with new things.
I think it's excellent for these people to come out with these new things. I mean, I don't use it on a daily basis, but I am thoroughly impressed with, I mean, just the fact that they came up with something different.
So am I. Would you like to read the next voicemail?
Not sure.
The next voicemail, the next email in this case.
From CJ.
Yes.
Just wanted to let you know that it's been great. Love the laid-back yet informative format. Keep up the great work, and I'll keep listening.
I think we don't have to say anything on that other than thank you for listening.
And thank you for the kind comments.
And then we got a message from Wolf. Wolf says, Wolf, I hope in the future that the Developer's Corner actually transcribes a bit about the audio segment. It was hard to follow, but might have been clearer if given a little text to go with it. Sorry, I was trying to do a more wolfish voice.
Okay. I don't think we have the funds to transcribe
podcast. We could run it through Google Voice.
Oh, yeah, because that's going to make it clearer.
Yes.
Now, if you're talking about last week's Developers Corner, where we were talking about some of the, in my opinion, oddities of the Java language, I actually wrote a blog post on that a while ago. If you go to vsadt.com, there is a blog post on there called Java Does the Funky Chicken in Hex, or Java Numbers Do the Funky Chicken in Hex.
And just send me a copy of that, and I'll make sure it appears in the show notes so that Wolf can get a little more knowledge of that particular subject.
But in the future, I will. If I'm going to talk about something, I will try and make sure that there are some notes that will clarify whatever we talk about.
And we'll be happy to put up a post. You know, if you'd like to have it on Android Buffet, we do have some posts every so often.
Ooh, I could write Developers Corner's post.
Yeah, we have a whole Developers Corner category that I've never actually put a post into.
You know what? I'm going to do that for next week.
Okay, well, I'll post it up and it will be...
Should we publish before or after the podcast goes out?
That is, of course, up to you, but I will make sure that it's there. And I know if you don't remember your password to get into the Android Buffet...
Don't say it on the podcast!
No, I was going to go with, I will either send you a new one or just send it to me and I'll paste it and I'll attribute it to your name. I'm the administrator. I can do anything.
So what you're saying is that if there's a Developers Corners podcast or post out there that seems kind of lame, I can blame it on you?
No, you can't change the name of the author of a post. I can.
Right, which means that I could just say, no, I didn't do that. You did that.
Would believe that.
I'm hoping anyone.
Okay. And we have some additional comments, and would you like to read the next one?
It's sure.
Pete Turner.
Pete Turner. Hi, I subscribed to your podcast several weeks ago via iTunes, but haven't been able to get a complete download of any episode. The download stops between 1/4 and 1/3 of the way through, and then eventually times out. Do you know of any workarounds for this issue? I subscribe to a number of other podcasts and don't have any problems with any other downloads. Thanks.
Now, before I attempt to answer that question, I'm going to read David H.'s comment, which was also about iTunes. I thought I would let you know that I listen to your podcast via iTunes. I do so for a couple of reasons. One is my Droid has a bad audio jack. I guess this happens a lot to droids. Second is I am one of those weirdos who listens to a million podcasts. One cool thing about listening to so many podcasts is that I got to be the second voicemail played by you guys. One of the reasons I still use my iPod is that I have close to 16 gigabytes of music, and with all my rooting and saving backup, I have little space on my SD card for podcasts. As a side note, can I suggest the MIUI ROM for the original Droid? I really love it. And he followed up with a second message. I should mention as a follow-up that while I am a huge Android fan, iTunes does podcast collection better than anyone else. Now, so just going back to the first question from Pete Turner, apparently David H. is able to download our podcasts via iTunes, and the way that iTunes has it set up is they get the same RSS feed you'd get in any other distribution, so I'm not sure why the download would stop in iTunes when it wouldn't stop for the download, since it's the same downloading function. So honestly, if anybody else has any thoughts on this, I would certainly recommend them and relay them, but
I have a thought.
Share with me.
Okay. Basically what this could come down to is geography. Wherever the podcast, the MP3 or AUG file lives.
If he's on iTunes, he's using the MP3 version.
Right. Wherever that is physically Chicago. Within the Chicago. Maybe David H. is relatively close to that. So there is the chance for a messed up link in between is very low. Whereas Pete may live in, I don't know, Somalia. And going across the Atlantic Ocean is a little rough. Now, do you know if when you download a file from the server that has those files and it is interrupted, can you resume the download?
Well, it may be that iTunes doesn't support that feature. I would assume it did, but iTunes as a piece of software is, regardless of its pod collection abilities, it's not necessarily ideal. It's built on something of an obsolete platform.
Yes, but I believe that it will, from my experience with iTunes, that if it cannot if it can't finish the download, it will try and resume it instead of try and download it again. But I mean, you're much more of a server guy than I am.
Well, look,
is that something you have to enable?
Well, I didn't think I had to, because technically it would just ask for the file. It's a standard server. And I've never noticed a setting that would enable or disable file resumes, but I'll certainly look into it.
Just an idea. Yeah. And I'm also wondering if...
Maybe it doesn't...
Pete ever get a good download? No, I haven't been able to get a complete download of any episode. Goodness.
But he's been listening. Well, he's been listening through the direct player on the website.
Maybe.
So he must have been listening somehow. Otherwise, he wouldn't be as interested in listening to us because he wouldn't have heard how wonderful we are.
Or maybe he hasn't listened and that's why he wants to listen.
That's a depressing thought. And anyway, so if anybody has any thoughts on this beyond what we've expressed, certainly I'll see if there's anything I can do. I'll do a little searching and try to figure out if there are any settings I can tweak on the server. Maybe take a trip to Chicago to the data center, talk to them. I probably won't do that.
What about putting... Well, no, we already talked about putting podcast like on S3 or something.
I did do that for a while, but the costs spiraled out of control. I could switch it over to Libsyn or something like that. That's more flat rate, which is popular for podcasts. That may come in the future.
Does it do any sort of geographical distribution?
Libsyn? I think it does, because it's very popular for various podcasts. I know a lot of them use it, and very few of them have problems. And they're a more distributed service. So I have one server. Admittedly, it's a very nice server. Never seen it personally, but we'll see what we can do.
All right.
And we have a voicemail.
A voicemail? I haven't heard a voicemail. What do you mean a voicemail?
Excuse me, I attached it to you.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did, to the first show notes I sent you.
Oh.
So I will play the voicemail right now, because you didn't hear it, even though I sent it to you.
Hi, Jerry and Guru. This is Greg. I'm sorry I messed up my first message, but I just wanted to let you know I really appreciate your show. I've listened to all episodes waiting for your next. I'm listening to it on my PodTrapper Podcatcher application on my Motorola Droid X. I really enjoy the show. You're very fun and educational and fun at the same time. Keep up the good shows.
Excellent. I always like hearing nice things said.
Yes, if you want to tell us nice things, we love hearing them. And now that we've finished up with that, we can get into the developing platform news. Lots of excitement this week. And while we don't, we're going to talk about a little hardware. We don't normally do that, but a few things came up. There was a man hospitalized, apparently, after his Droid 2 exploded while next to his ear. And a lot of people are finding this rather suspicious because it looks like the Droid 2 did not explode. It looks more like it imploded.
I'm looking at the picture and... Yeah, huh?
Anyway, no one else seems to have reported an exploding or imploding Droid 2, so we're going to assume this is an isolated incident. But in case you're one of those people who likes something to be worried about your phone exploding.
Well, there's a reason to use Bluetooth.
Definitely. In other news, the Android market now has a similar or related button, depending on which version of Android you're using. Apparently, some manufacturers are getting a similar button, and some are getting a related button.
I have not seen this yet.
Well, I already have it. They're pushing out market updates. Have you been in
your... Whoa!
There it is. He's very excited. He must be looking to see what's similar to something he already has.
Okay, let's go dog catcher.
But it's
okay.
It's a
dog catcher related podcast, streaming podcast, Acast, my podcast. Freaking awesome! Yay! Most excellent.
I think this is a great feature. They're starting to really look at how well they can make some good tweaks to the market.
That is excellent.
And if you have a Droid and you haven't noticed it, or any form of Android device, go out there, look at your market, and look for the similar and or related button, depending on which you're on. I don't know why some of them say similar and some of them say related, but they're the same thing.
I bet I know.
Share with me, Jerry.
Okay, this goes to being the developer. Basically, my thought is that the translations, the localizations for English in the U.S. and English in the U.K., they have a different word there, because maybe in the UK, similar is much more often used for that meaning than related.
Then why is it that the Evo has a different one than the Droid?
Well, your Droid has similar?
I forget. I know it has the other one.
It has the other one.
The one
that's
that you
helpful. I have related.
I think mine says similar.
Well, maybe yours thinks it's in the UK.
No, don't think so.
It's also entirely possible that I'm just really wrong.
If anybody thinks Jerry is really wrong, please drop us an email. Drop us a voicemail. Remember, at the end of the show, Josh will be telling you all where you can find us.
Actually, yes. If I pride myself on, well, a variety of things, but I don't like being wrong. So if I am wrong, please let me know.
And I want so that I can
drastically limit the amount of time of which I'm wrong.
Maybe okay. That should be the title for this week's episode. Episode 21. Jerry might be wrong.
No.
I thought we'd call it
Jerry Gingerbread. Jerry is sometimes wrong.
I thought we'd call it Gingerbread is here, but we'll see.
Gingerbread is here. Gingerbread. 2.3. Cool stuff.
Yes. Do you want to skip down to that, or we have a few statistics this week to get through first?
Okay, let's do the statistics.
Okay. Android 2.0 or greater is now on 83% of devices. 1.6 is now down to 10.6%, and 1.5 to 6.3.
So you mean 2.0 or greater?
Yes. So the majority of people are now on 2.0.
With a fairly even split between 2.1 and 2.2.
Which, you know, I can deal with. At least it's above 2.
Yes.
I think anything below 2 they should just kill as quickly as possible.
Absolutely.
And there's enough said about that. And based on a survey of 9,200 people, Nielsen, I know how much you dislike them, has stated that 33% of male respondents wanted an Android phone compared to 23% of female respondents. For the iPhone, it was 29% versus 31%. So this led several people to conclude Android is for boys, iPhone is for girls. And for the BlackBerry, apparently it's roughly equal. So the BlackBerry is, what do they call it, metrosexual?
I don't know. 29% versus 31%, that's margin of error.
Which is why I wondered why they would conclude that. Now, 33 to 23 is, you know, for...
I would call that statistically significant, unless... I mean, out of 9,200 people, yeah, okay, 10% is significant. But I don't know.
And that brings us to...
And the BlackBerry, roughly equal. I'm sorry, but 29% and 31% to me is roughly equal. Anyway.
And that brings us to Gingerbread. The first stage of Gingerbread, at least.
No, we'll go ahead and do the whole thing, because...
Okay, so we'll move Developer's Corner up.
Yeah, Developer's Corner is... we'll do...
Right after we talk about what's in it for users. There are going to be UI refinements for simplicity and speed. A new keyboard optimized for faster text input and editing and predictive input. Now, if you have a rooted phone, somebody extracted the new keyboard, which was pushed to some of the Droid X's this week. So they extracted it so you can install it on any phone as a separate update. Improved power management. And one of the amusing things is it seems to have a built-in task manager. So they've taken the running applications part of the settings and they've enhanced it to the point at which it pretty much looks like a task manager. Considering all of the arguments about not using task managers.
Yay!
Now there's one built in. And also the next one I'm really interested in, internet calling. SIP integrated into the dialer and the contacts. And unfortunately, support for the platform's SIP and internet calling features will be determined by the manufacturers and their associated carriers. So I'm predicting the carriers won't necessarily enable that feature.
Unless they're Sprint.
You think Sprint will do it?
I think so.
Well, you have 4G, so you're paying a premium for that anyway. But I'm convinced that a lot of carriers will not like that feature any more than they like tethering. You know, it's an improved download management. The camera app will now support multiple cameras.
You see, and I thought that was supposed to be in 2.2. Of course, I'm also thinking from an API level, not from the user level, but okay.
Yeah, this is their camera app, so I'm not sure if the Evo has a custom camera app that has better support.
Oh, it has to have, because there's a button in there that says, you know, which camera do you want to use? So now it has to be a custom app.
Now that's built into stock Android.
I wonder if this is going to lead the way to multiple cameras.
Well, certainly.
You know, maybe they could have like on the back, a camera and like an IR camera, you know, something like the Xbox Kinect has on it.
So it can, you don't have to touch the phone, you just wave your hand in the general direction of it.
Yeah. Or it could, you know, have a better view of its background surroundings.
But as part of this, even though we don't normally talk much hardware, Google is going to sell another phone. Even though they said there wouldn't be a Nexus 2, they decided, oh, that just means we weren't going to call it that. We're going to call it the Nexus S.
Which is a 2 backwards.
I didn't even think of that. I just thought Eric Schmidt was being sort of, what's the word?
It's the Nexus Schmidt?
No, I just thought when he said, he actually tweeted, I didn't say there wouldn't be another Nexus phone. I only said there would not be a Nexus 2. I thought.
So you think he's being a little bit pedantic?
Maybe. But that will launch within the next 2 weeks with Gingerbread, and that will be on T-Mobile, and there'll be an unlocked version sold. So they're not going to promise all 4 carriers, so it's going to be their new developer phone. And that's essentially just a updated Galaxy S, and apparently it has no SD slot, which is a matter of a lot of interest.
Oh, so why did they go and do that?
Because they can. And we'll move on.
That's, you know, it's just... Okay, now when they talk about Android fragmentation... 1 second. When they talk about Android fragmentation, I'm not so much worried about the different screens or, you know, does it have a hardware keyboard or not. There are things that, like, the Incredible has an SD slot and a big old honking chunk of internal memory, roughly the size of an SD card. I'm talking about things like, so if you want to have a place to put it, you know, by and large, Android phones have SD cards. Well, if you're on the Incredible, then maybe it does, maybe it doesn't.
Well, I like having the option. I don't necessarily expect them to give me one. I'll pay for my own if I have to. I like the option of expandable memory.
And now the Nexus S is not going to come with an SD card at all. So you have you have 3 options now. Either it has an SD card, it doesn't have an SD card, or it has an SD card and internal memory.
Well, it doesn't have a slot. Remember, the important thing is not whether or not it comes with a card. The important thing is it not coming with the option of you even putting in a card.
Right, but I'm talking about from a developer standpoint. You know, sometimes you have big files, like if you're a podcatcher, you know, you need somewhere to put those. Well, unless you take special care for the Incredible, that can fail, and fail pretty much inexplicably. Well, now there's something else you got to... why do you do that?
I don't know.
It's an SD card. It's one of the awesome things that makes Android better than iPhone. You want more storage? Put a bigger card in.
Yeah, and I don't object to having more inside the phone and having the card only, let's say, for, you know, music and media. Because, you know, I hate, if I want to, let's say, hot swap a card, you know, suddenly worrying about losing my cache and application settings if they're stored on the card. So I wouldn't object to more being stored inside the phone and, you know, leaving the card only for media. But
one of the problems with putting your applications on the SD card is if you plug your phone in and you mount the SD card as a drive so that your computer can get to it, then any of those programs that are on the SD card that are widgets, for example, stop working.
I never.
Now, obviously, you can't run them if they're on the SD card and your phone doesn't have access to the SD card. Much less, obviously, is any of those programs that depend on that are showing widgets. Those widgets stop working, and it's just, oh. Why would you do something like that?
I don't know. And it's possible that those reports are going to be wrong, that there will be an SD card, but all the reports are saying right now, as you record this on Monday, that there's no SD on it, and a lot of people are upset about that, just as upset as you, Jerry. So hopefully it's wrong, but it doesn't seem to be. And let's move on to Developer's Corner. We're going to move that up so we can talk about the release of the Gingerbread SDK, and I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay. That was the Monday morning sped up version.
Yes.
Monday night
sped up version.
Now, we're going to... Okay, I tell you what. Here's what we're going to do. I am going to discuss these new features with you, and much like Josh and I did last week, and we'll see if that works out a little bit better. What do you say?
Okay. I will respond as best I can.
Okay. The applications written for Android are by and large written in a language called Java, right?
Yes.
Okay. Java is what is considered a managed language. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. A managed language basically means that when you allocate memory, you don't have to worry about freeing it. It has a thing called a garbage collector, which will keep track of whether you're using memory, and when you're not, it'll just free it up so it can let other stuff use that memory.
And I gather Gingerbread is making some changes to garbage collection and improving it.
It is. One of the positive things of garbage collection is that if you allocate a whole bunch of memory in small chunks of varying size, then you can get these things, you know, they're holes. You know, much like your hard drive can get fragmented, so can your memory. Now, in a native language, you're kind of stuck. But in a managed language like Java, like C Sharp, the garbage collector can kind of take all of those sections of memory that are allocated and sweep them up and put them and kind of compress them down, you know, get rid of all the empty spots.
Yes.
And that's really nice, so that you run into this out of memory condition much less, because, you know, it takes all a whole bunch of small holes and makes them into one big hole. The problem with that is with garbage collection and, this consolidation of free memory is that nothing else can happen while that's going on. Sometimes you'll see it when you're playing a game and the game will like freeze for, you know, half a second or so or less or more, and then carry on like nothing was happening. Game designers live in fear of the garbage collector and go to amazing lengths to avoid the garbage collector actually doing anything, which kind of defeats the whole point of having garbage collector in the first place. Well, 2.3 is supposed to have a concurrent garbage collector, which will let it collect garbage without actually pausing the program. That's tricky. We'll see if it works out.
Well, hopefully that, you know, the reason why it's taken so long between the time they delivered that statute to Google and their announcement may have been because they wanted to make sure everything worked. And unlike some other Google projects, Android usually, for the most part, works when they release a new feature.
Concurrency is hard, especially much more so at the low level than it is at the high level. You know, in a managed environment, not so hard, not as hard as native, because the virtual machine has pretty much control over it. it can stop anything before it accesses the memory that it's moving around. We'll see. I mean, that, in my opinion, that is a major upgrade for Android. You'll also get some faster event distribution, meaning when somebody presses a button or drags their finger, you will your program will receive the notification much more quickly.
And this is all for game development, I think, is what they're looking at.
Well, anything all, responds yeah. from better event notification better.
I think that's what they're pushing for, because that's one of the areas that Android has historically lagged behind the iPhone in getting game developers to come over. Now, we've gotten a few, even, you know, the Angry Bird people, and admittedly Angry Birds on Android is a big coup, have said that they had a lot of problems developing for Android for various reasons. So I think Google may be responding to that and saying, we're looking at why it is people don't want to develop games on the Android platform, and we're going to try to eliminate some of those limitations.
Yep. And especially the next one, they're updating the video drivers so that the OpenGL is faster, which, when you're talking games, OpenGL is pretty much all you have on Android.
And I heard that there was something about a new extra large screen setting that might help with some larger screens, such as the tab.
Yes.
I know I saw a reference to that in there. I only got a chance to read through this one, so I may have missed some of the... And also, I was looking at the multimedia support section. I was thinking back to that conversation where we were talking about recording using the Droid and the supported formats.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they're going to put in AAC and AMR wideband recording, which would mean that caked into the operating system without needing an external library would be better quality recording.
That would be nice.
And, of course, WebM and VP8 support, which we expected considering Google was behind the whole WebM thing.
And VP8, since they own VP8 now.
And,
okay, go ahead.
There's the Near Field Communications API. Do you think you
could find it? No, I don't foresee any use for NFC. For me as a developer. Now, PayPal, Visa, you know, maybe they can find some cool stuff to use NFC for later on. You have to have a phone that actually has is NFC capable.
And they want to lay out the API for that so that manufacturers will start putting it in.
Mm-hmm. The audio section also now has the ability to mix audio effects instead of you having to do it in native code yourself and generate the waveforms.
Is this going to give you ideas from my soundboard?
It'll remove a lot of the stuff I have to do. Android.media.audio.fx.
Can it will I have be a able copy to of my soundboard, by the way.
Yes.
This is turning into a running joke, isn't it? Because I went back through my email. I have my copy of Real Mirror.
That doesn't do you any good.
I don't have a facing camera, but I've been really eager to make that Jerry Jones soundboard. I've been saving all these files, and I'm worried I'll never be able to make the Jerry Jones soundboard.
Yes, you will.
I'm this close to paying the $3 just to.
$3.99? Yeah.
I'm this close to paying the $3.99 just on... You know, I have to get
carrying some... on.
Yeah. Yes. The UI builder?
It now has support for all four orientations, which I think is just cool. Head over to developer.android.com/sdk/android2.3.html.
And it's linked in the show notes in the Developer's Corner section.
Well, that's the platform highlights page. If you look on the left-hand side and that click on the platform right above where it says Android 2.3 platform, and you'll get a much more detailed layout. One of the things that I am particularly excited about is that native access to activity lifecycle, Windows. Android 2.3 exposes a broad set of APIs to applications that use native code.
And that seems very promising.
That means that now you can write your Android application completely in native code. So, like, your activities, they can inherit from... I mean, you'll still need to write some stubs in Java, but... all of the callbacks from activities, meaning on create, on destroy, blah, 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 all those can go straight to native code now. You can get to the input queue for event managing. The surface holder, the callback, thank you. I mean, you cannot deal with the surface in Java code. Java is just way too slow to deal with any real-time surface manipulation. But give it the ability to call directly into for the callback to go directly into native code. Oh, awesome, things are coming. And you can also do the, well, it's good stuff. I am excited.
About this. I'm excited about the possibilities. As you know, I'm the idea guy. I'm not a developer per se. I've done a little programming over the years, but you know, I think that my basic understanding of programming at least gives me the idea of what's possible. And I'm excited about what people who actually write code well would be able to do with all this stuff.
Yeah, there is a downside that, I mean, native code lets you shoot yourself in the foot like nothing else.
That's what testing is for.
Yeah, and testing in Java is... testing on Android.
Well, the emulator is not able to do native code emulation quite as well as actually testing on a device, would it?
Well... because
hardware tends to have some variance. That's always been the issue. Once you're getting down into native code, won't you get into more hardware-specific issues?
I don't... think so. If you're going to, you probably will not want to use native code for access to hardware because native code will not have any more, any better access to hardware than Java will. What you're going to use the native for is when you want speed, raw, unadulterated, just crunch me those numbers and do it quickly. That's what you want the native code for. You know, testing in Android is just kind of a pain anyway because you have to test it through the emulator. And when I say testing, what I mean is automated testing. Like, okay, I've made some changes. Run these tests to make sure I didn't break anything.
By the way, in case things are happening, Andy Rubin, right as we're recording, is about to start speaking as the keynote at the D Dive Into Mobile event right about now.
Really?
We're recording. Just came up. Apparently, just about now, Kara Swisher and Mossberg are
apparently... You got a link you can fire at me?
Yes, I'm going to fire out a link. They're doing some live blogging, so I saw the link, and I thought maybe something would come in while we were doing the show, so I pulled it up. Then it would be breaking news, except the show doesn't get released until a day after. But
well, we would have it before any of the other podcasts.
It's auto-reloading here, if the page will actually auto-refresh every few seconds as they live blog.
Nah, I don't think we're going to make it.
Probably not. Anyway, moving along.
Yeah, anyway, there's 2.3 for a developer is quite exciting.
And check out the links to find out what's going on.
Yeah. I love the fact that your contacts will now have the option for a SIP address.
I love that as well. I'm hoping that even before the actual update to 2.3, that Google Contacts Online has the box for me to enter it in. Because one of my biggest problems has been the difference between the boxes I can enter in on the Google Contacts site and the ones that show up in Android. I want to be able to enter my contacts at my computer and then have them on the phone.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. You're more familiar with SIP than I am, I believe.
I think so, but not necessarily.
Okay, let's say that you have an Android 2.3 phone.
Yes.
And you have a SIP address. And your buddy in Guatemala has a SIP or a 2.3 Android phone and also has a SIP address.
Yes.
Calling him is 100% free.
Which is why the carriers may not like that very much.
Because it starts on the internet and ends on the internet. There's no bridging over to a landline or anything, right? Yes,
it's going to be a data-only service, which means carriers will start charging more for data and less for voice because voice will become less common.
I think that's awesome.
I think so, too, and I'm looking forward to it.
But I'm hoping it goes the other way. I'm hoping that SIP becomes much more common than the current voice.
That's what I'm
because,
hoping.
As I understand it, SIP is much more efficient with bandwidth than the voice that goes over the... I mean, I know it's the voice is digital, but even still, SIP is much more efficient. So if they could shift a lot of the bandwidth that they're currently using for voice calls into the data and SIP, then the overall available data bandwidth would improve quite a bit.
Well, As I said, I'm in favor of them doing it. I'm just convinced the carriers are going to not go for it because they want to keep their business model. Very few people, it's either jump on the bandwagon or don't. They're going to very slowly transition over for the simple reason that they want to keep their business. And I don't blame them for being a bit concerned if technology built into their phone would allow people to stop paying for minutes, which is how they charge people at the moment.
Yeah, pretty much.
So they're going to go back to talking about metered bandwidth, and nobody really wants that, except maybe the carriers.
Now, I have one more thing about the 2.3 that I'm just going to throw out there because, the android.telephony.gsm.
Yes.
Namespace. Or... has a class called GSM Cell Location. Okay? One of the new features is a new function or method on that class called getPSC, which returns the primary scrambling code of the serving cell. Exactly why is that useful?
I'm not sure. I'm not necessarily an expert on cell-based telephony, but
I just don't. Huh?
I'm not sure why you need the scrambling signal. That's all handled below where you'd really need to be. Unless they're using it the same way that they use the ESN of the phone as a unique identifier. But I can't see a use case.
I don't get it either.
Okay, so let's
move on. It was just one of those odd things.
Let's move on. We don't want to keep people too long. Google eBooks launched today. Now, that's exciting. It's an online bookstore run by Google. But because it launched today and I really want a chance to have a look at it, and I know, Jerry, you would too, I've included an AppBrain link, and we'll just look at it and have that ready for next week. So we're not going to really discuss it that much this week. It's another eBook store. But it's run by Google, and there's an Android app.
I bet Amazon loves that.
Well, every time I invest in a platform, there's competition, but you win some, you lose some. Anyway, a few bits of app news we're going to go through quickly, if you have any comments. Dolphin Mini, which is Dolphin's browser that they're basing on the 1.6 Android engine, as opposed to Dolphin HD, which is 2.0 based. they're working on creating an extremely fast and lightweight version of Dolphin, and it's in its second beta.
Cool.
So we'll see about that. I'm waiting until it gets into a final version. I want to see how it plays against the full version of Dolphin.
I have to admit, I'm not overly excited because Dolphin HD performs quite handedly on my Evo.
Well, it doesn't mean that they wouldn't necessarily port some of these ideas into the full version. I don't know what they're planning, but I'm just curious to see how it works out. Thick Buttons, which I've mentioned before, it's a keyboard that expands the size of letters you're likely to push next. It was updated. It now offers a non-predictive landscape mode and a voice-to-text option.
Have you tried Thick Buttons?
Yes, that's what I put on my mother's phone.
Oh, that freaking keyboard just irritates the mess out of me.
She loves it. She doesn't like paying for things. She has not paid for a single app. So she wouldn't get SwiftKey. Although she did recently agree to pay for something, so I'm going to set up a Google Checkout account for her.
Excellent.
So I could try to talk her into buying more apps. But it's on my list of things to do. And I know you were looking at it, but Revision 3 released an app. And for those who don't know, Revision 3 is an online-only video network that produces a variety of interesting tech and tech-ish themed programs.
And a personal opinion here, but I think they're also really high-quality content.
Yes, I think
my personal favorite is Scam School, where, you know, Brian Brushwood teaches you a bunch of, you know, like bar tricks. And it sounds silly, and it really is. But I love that show. You know, it's 15, 20 minutes, and learn a cool trick.
And he has interesting hair.
He does have interesting hair.
Very spiky.
Anyway, very spiky.
But it's nice Revision 3 has an app. I'm in favor of any organization that wants to make it easier for me to get their content.
I tried the app over 3G, and I tried the app over Wi-Fi. And it looks like they are doing some sort of adaptive bitrate thing, because over GSM, I got a lot of skips and such, but the picture was atrocious.
And I heard that they were working on it because they released several updates over the course of the weekend. So they are continuing to develop and tweak it based on feedback.
But over the Wi-Fi, it was a beautiful picture. A noticeably higher resolution than what I was getting over 3G.
And I think that's the way it should be. You really should have different profiles based on where the video is coming from to adapt for the different delivery technologies.
I certainly do agree with you. And which is why I brought it up, because I think it's a good thing.
I think that's a great design feature, and I encourage Revision 3, if they're listening, which they're probably not.
Yeah. Hi, Brian.
Yeah.
Love your show, man. Yeah,
pick up our show. We'll go video for you. I'm kidding, but anyway.
You know what? If Brian Brushwood wants to come to my house and record a show of Android Buffet, we can do a video show for that one episode.
I thought he was an iPhone user. Anyway.
It's Brian.
He's Brian Brushwood. We let him on.
He's Brian Brushwood, people.
Yeah. Any famous technology or internet personality who wants to be on this show, we'll let you on.
Maybe.
Who would you reject out of curiosity?
Steve.
Jobs?
Yes.
I don't think he'd want to be on this show. But
Works out for both of us then, yeah. Doesn't it?
We could talk about Twitter Deck. You know, it's one of my favorite apps. Anyway, so Winamp for Android was updated to 0.9.2, which is apparently their final release. They're out of beta, and they're offering Shoutcast support for those of you who still use Shoutcast.
Well, bear in mind that Shoutcast is not just something you're going to use. It's something that radio stations can use as well to embed metadata in the stream.
Yes. And DoubleTwist was updated. It now supports syncing over Wi-Fi with its Mac or Windows desktop app. Syncing is, of course, sold separately. Well, they have to make money somehow. The DoubleTwist app itself is free. Give them a couple bucks. People seem to like DoubleTwist. I hear it's almost as good as iTunes for those people who are...
Dude!
Who are on... Well, isn't it supposed to be? I thought it was supposed to, you know, be for people who wanted to get off of iTunes, but still like iTunes. That wasn't a dig or anything.
It was, whether you intended it to be or not. It was a fairly significant insult.
I'm sorry. I was told
almost as good as iTunes. Ow.
Okay. For those people who like iTunes. Anyway, so the Sony ebook reader app is apparently coming to Android. So yet another ebook reader app. We have a lot of those. It's really hard to choose. I settled down on a combination of Aldico and Kindle. And Aldico actually did tweet out today that they will support the Google ebook store at some point in the future with their 2.0 version, the one that's been in beta for what seems like ever. And hopefully that'll come soon.
Excellent. I like Aldico.
And that brings us to a brief root report.
A root report?
Yes.
Root, root, root.
Yeah, I should get a dog sound for that. Anyway, you know, a real one as opposed to Jerry pretending to be a dog.
I wasn't pretending to be a dog.
You were going, root, root, root.
I did, yes.
I thought that was a dog sound effect.
Well, no. you just take all the fun out of it.
I'm sorry.
Carry on. What you got? What are you doing?
Cyanogen mod 6.1 stable was released. And I mentioned some of the features that they've been putting in the release candidates, including the lock screen gestures and the quick widget in the notification pull down. And there's now a stable version just in time for Gingerbread, which will likely be incorporated into Cyanogen mod 7, which will be released sometime in the future when the open source code is released and they can start playing with it. A few other things. The official Google Reader app was released last week. Have you had a chance to try that?
No, I'm not a big RSS dude.
Well, you know, Twitter goes by too fast sometimes, and I do need to keep up on things. So I did try the official Google Reader app while I was sitting in a department store, actually. A lesson to all you people, never let somebody invite you out to a meal, greet a carpool with them, and then let them say something like, I'd like to just stop into that department store next door for a few minutes. A few minutes is never a few minutes. Anyway, jokes about my mother aside, and I get a free lunch. The same joke applies to wives and girlfriends and other things, but my mother invited me to lunch, and I don't pass up free meals. And anyway, that joke aside, it's actually not bad. It's basic. I mean, actually, what I really like about it is the synced Google Reader becomes an option under the account settings and sync menus, the same way that you'll see calendar under there. So I like the way that it's very nicely integrated into the system. But it doesn't yet support offline caching, which you can get from most third-party readers, and cache to SD. So it's caching to memory on the phone while it's working. So that may come in future versions. Remember, this is only the first version. And finally, I did look at another alternate music player, music folder player, which if you don't want to tag your music, which is a big pain in the neck, I've been trying to do it for months now properly, you can use this folder-based player. It's simple. It has a cute little interface. And try it out. And we're coming on the hour mark here, so I wanted to make sure we covered everything. And we'll be back, of course, next week. I'm going to try to talk more about Google eBooks and whatever else happens to come up over the course of the next few days. What about you, Jerry? Have you been looking at or playing with any interesting apps this week?
You know, I'm curious what's with the pod at AST. I'm looking at David H's email and where the podcast, he replaced the C with an at sign. Okay. And it's not like it was a mistake because the at is on the other, is, you know, it's the C's on the bottom of the keyboard. The at sign's on the top of the keyboard. So he obviously did it on purpose.
Well, not necessarily, because he wrote the word podcast several other times in the email, which I pasted directly into this. Let me check the original note, if it was actually in there. Let me just see. Sorry, I'm going into the thing.
You know, I guess I could kind of figure it if it was like he replaced the C and the A, because then that would be like, you know, the at sign is kind of like an A if you squished it inside the C, but.
Yeah, but every other time that he wrote the word podcast, he did write it with the C. So you could say that it's either a typo or for it's some sort of convention that neither of us are familiar with.
That's been bugging me this whole show. Yeah. Why did he do that? Because, you know, David took the energy to put an at sign in podcast, and it just huh? Oh, yeah. What have I been doing? Okay, apps. Okay, so apps. Since I have defeated the Angry Birds, I'm trying out a couple new games. One is Spaghetti Marshmallows. Spaghetti and Marshmallows, which is kind of interesting. It's the whole concept is you have a bunch of spaghetti, uncooked spaghetti sticks and marshmallows, and you have to build two-dimensional structures to achieve certain goals.
Okay.
And the other is Robo Defense, which I bought the full version for. Amazingly addictive game.
I've heard a lot of people talking about it.
You know, I like tower defenses in general. My favorite tower, I have two favorite flash tower defenses for, you know, just the casual, oh, I'm frustrated, I want to blow up some quick steam. One is Gemcraft at Armor Games, particularly Gemcraft Chapter Zero. I really like it, but it's not available on Android. And the other is Bloom's Tower Defense by the guys over at Ninja Kiwi, which just what a great name. Ninja Kiwi.
Well, you came up with Dragon Global.
Yeah, that's not really hard nor creative, especially if you understand my background.
I and the other people came up with Wenica. That's pretty creative.
It means yes, it is.
Well, no, it nobody knows what it means. That's creativity right there.
Well, basically, I'm familiar with tower defenses. And also the StarCraft II tower defense, great game. But that's, you know, Flash on the desktop. So I'm kind of critical of tower defense games. And I have not really found any good ones for Android. However, Robo Defense is a really good tower defense system. Or game. So
I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Two bits of news, by the way, breaking. Somebody has already gotten Gingerbread running on a Droid Eris, building it from the SDK. For playing only. I find that very amusing.
Cool.
And just keeping an eye on the Andy Rubin lecture that's going on right now, he had some interesting comments. Android started as an 8-person startup. Now there are 172 different phone models using Android after launching just 2 years ago with one, the G1. And he's noticed that more and more they're taking on the personality of the carrier.
Yes.
Not the handset carrier. So essentially the person who's carrying it. And Verizon, for example, swapped out Google for Bing, which they asked about, and he noted that the alternative is a commoditized world where all the phones have to have a start menu in one place and all the icons have to be tiles. The whole idea of Android is you can make it look whatever you want. So you can make it look like a Microsoft design, you can make it look like an iPhone design, or you can make it look like anything else you can imagine.
Wow.
I think there's going to be a lot of interesting gems from this interview.
He says nice things about the iPhone.
Well, the iPhone, whatever you can say about the iPhone, and I certainly have a lot of complaints, the iPhone has good design. except for that whole thing with the antenna. But you know, in terms of their UI, people love it. It's easy to understand. There are certainly good things about it. But
oh, wow, this is interesting. Yeah. The latest update, 7:01 p.m., that I have. Andy Rubin says, we're making money on, or they're at, okay, he's asked, is Android profitable? And he said, and Andy says, we're making money on the advertisement that's generated through Android. So Walt asking, are you profitable if it was broken out as a separate business? Which is an extremely valid question. And his answer was yes.
Which is very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's more going to come on that, but I think we're running a few minutes past the hour, and I think we should wrap it up. And people, you can check out that interview that we're looking at as the show is recording. It, of course, will be linked in the show notes, and we'll probably have more to say on it next week, along with any other news that comes out, and more excitement from the wonderful world of Android. This has been a big heap and helping of Android, courtesy of the Android Buffet, and let's turn it over to Josh to tell everyone where they can find us.
If you'd like to leave a voicemail for us, you can call 201-2-WENICA. That's 201-293-6322. You can send us an email at podcast@androidbuffet.com or use the contact form on the website. You can follow us on Twitter at Android Buffet. Guru is the editor of Gadget Wisdom at www.gadgetwisdom.com or on Twitter at Gadget Wisdom. Jerry is the creator of Show Analyzer and the co-host of the monthly podcast HTP Centric. You can find him at jerry.jones@gmail.com or on Twitter at jerry_jones. My name is Josh Pollard, and now a final word from Guru and Jerry.
Doesn't he sound so excited in that recording?
Dude, did you script that out? Because, I mean, that whole last... this has been a heaping scoop of, and wow, that was, did you write that out?
No, that came off the top of my head.
Wow, that's good stuff.
I'm going to have to, you know, that will have to be a clip on my soundboard. You know,
I'll have it to will, have a guru if you thing. Ever get a copy.
Yeah, well, I'm saving the little files.
Excellent.
And that brings us to the end of our program for this week. All of you... tonight, I'm actually doing the show by candlelight because I'm Jewish and it's Hanukkah. So I've had the candles sitting here all night while I've been talking. For those of you who celebrate Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah. For those of you who don't, today is December 6th. If you're Christian, it's St. Nicholas Day. I'm sure.
You mean it's Santa Claus Day?
No, it's St. Nicholas Day. Originally, you know that the modern day Christmas was invented here in New York.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah, well, there's a whole... I could tell you a whole story about how they actually tried to make the celebratory day St. Nicholas Day, but ultimately Christmas won out. There's a whole fascinating story that I could tell you.
I tell you what, throw a link in the show notes.
I read that in a book, so I'd have to see if somebody talked about the same topic online.
I'm sure they did. It is, after all, the internet.
Yes, well, I'll look into it. It's actually okay. A very interesting story about
the... So, Christmas was invented by New York.
New Yorkers.
New Yorkers.
Yeah, they thought that New Year's had become, too blah, and they needed a new celebratory date.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway.
I think you're full of it.
Yeah, well, that comes from the book Gotham by Mike Wallace.
Okay, so you're getting your facts from a book about Batman?
No, a book about the history of New York. I'm a New Yorker. I like history, so I read a book about the history of New York.
You said it was called Gotham. That's Gotham City. That's where Batman lives.
No, Gotham is also, has over the years been a nickname for New York.
Oh, so let me get this straight. Now Batman lives in New York.
No. Where's Metropolis? How about that? These are just, generic
city. Oh, wait, type. Now Superman lives in New York, too? You got Superman and Batman? Holy cow!
Well, we indisputably have Spider-Man. He definitely lives in New York.
Well, it's a good thing that Iron Man doesn't live in New York, because otherwise that would just be unfair. How can you have all these superheroes and still have high crime rates?
I don't know. It's a big city.
It's a big... They're superheroes!
Well, you know, they have lives.
See, now this is what happens when you disrespect the Santa Claus.
I didn't disrespect the Santa Claus.
If Christmas was going to be on St. Nicholas Day. St. Nicholas is Santa Claus.
Well, no, that was the day they originally wanted to be the joyous revelry type holiday. Unfortunately, you know, a different joyous type revelry holiday day went out. You know,
I can't believe up in New York you want to celebrate anything on these days. It's so cold.
It is very cold and windy today, and there's some white stuff coming down from the sky. It's not sticking here in New York City. It will soon.
Oh, man, we almost got down to freezing this morning, and I was not a happy camper.
Please don't say that. On Thursday, I'm going to Florida. I want it to be warm.
Right now, it is up 40 degrees outside.
Yes. If anybody's curious, I am not going to the part of Florida that Jerry is in. I'm going
because that would just be cool.
Excuse me, if you want me to stop by, Jerry,
Where are you going in Florida?
To South Florida. I have relatives down in South Florida. I had an extra day that I had to use up before the end of the year at work, so I'm taking Friday off because if I don't, I lose the day that I had to take off. So I'm doing a long weekend.
My boss today said, so Jerry, you got 7 days you have to take off between now and the end of the year.
Did he notice it's December 6th? Well, not only
that. And then I'm like, okay, I'll work until the 20th and take the rest of the day, year off. And he's like, can you space it out a little bit?
Yeah, I
not try a whole lot.
I try to space it out a bit. I had 1 day left that had to be used before the end of the year. I also have, since I don't work on weekends, and the 25th and the 1st are both considered holidays where I work. The company has to give me an alternate day in lieu of those. So if the holiday falls on a weekend, they have to give me a different day.
Mm.
But they get to decide which day it is. So they haven't told me yet. So at some point, I'm going to have a random Thursday sometime in the next 30 days that I'm just going to try to take off.
All right.
Probably spend it sitting here blog writing or something. But that brings us to the end of our program with a little diversion.
Well, one more thing. Remember we were talking about how Schmidt, I think it was Schmidt, said we're not making a Nexus 2 because they're making a Nexus S, and I said that was a bit pedantic.
Yes.
Pedantry is an excessive attention to detail or rules.
Yes.
A pedant, is a person who is overly concerned with formalism and precision. So maybe pedantic was the right word.
Quite possibly. I just didn't like that he has that sort of sense of humor that really annoys people.
You mean like mine?
No, I was talking about Eric Schmidt. I think your sense of humor is very different than Eric Schmidt's.
I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but thank you.
Well, and that brings us to the end of our program.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for listening, folks.
You know, I keep trying to end the program and get you guys out of here on time. If any of you are in the South Florida area, you're welcome to drop me a line. I'll be happy to wave at you as I fly by on my plane. Well, not my personal plane, on the commercial aircraft that I'm flying on.
So, are you going to go through the backscatter, or are you going to get your, are you going to get patted down?
Well, when I went through to Washington a few weeks ago to visit some other relatives, I actually did go through the scanner at Washington National Airport. Didn't seem that bad. Hopefully, I won't get radiation poisoning or lose the ability to bear children, or bear children with two heads, or something of that nature. I don't know. Do you think that as a matter of scientific curiosity and so that I can blog about it, that I should let them feel me up?
No, I think you should refuse to do either as a matter of civic duty.
And be escorted out of the airport and not be able to come home or not be able to go to Florida?
Exactly.
Okay. Are you going to reimburse me for my ticket, Jerry?
So let me get this straight. A few hundred dollars is more important than our Constitution? Okay. I see where this country's headed.
Well, we're not really a political show, are we? If you really want me to get into that, the question is this. I don't think this particular rule makes any sort of practical sense, and I will choose to protest it by contacting my various political leaders about reviewing the method in which it's enacted. I could also go into a long-standing thing about the company responsible for these machines, which are not necessarily the best ones that we could have. They're called RapeScan or RapaScan. And certainly I would prefer the alternate technology, which would be more efficient and less invasive. But that's just my opinion, and I certainly...
I'm glad to hear your opinion.
Yeah, I'm certainly... You know, I feel very strongly that the way they're doing it is wrong, but I honestly think that it's going to have to affect change at a higher level than me, as National Opt-Out Day didn't really do anything.
Because people didn't opt out.
Yes, well... So next time what you're saying is I should allow myself to be felt up in the name of liberty, I'll seriously consider that. Yes. Just remember...
Folks, y'all have... wow, what an interesting end to our show.
Yes. Don't touch my junk, Jerry.
Don't touch my junk.
Bye, folks.
Android Buffet is a project of the Weneca Media Group at weneca.com, creators of quality online content. Android Buffet is also a member of the Tech Podcast Network. Find more fine tech-related shows at techpodcast.com.
Smiling, the whole world smiles with you. When you're laughing, the sun comes shining through. But when you're sighing, you bring on the rain, so stop your sighing. Be happy again. When you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. Stop your crying, be happy again. Oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling.